Cam Ward's feature in Netflix's Quarterback Season 3 proves that he is the franchise QB Titans fans have been waiting for. We're going to review the show, what we thought about it, our favorite moments, and everything we learned about Cam Ward. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, it's good to be back. 1 week-ish until training camp, the Veterans Report on July 28th. You and I have completed our training camp positional preview series. It's on the channel. It's in the feed. 10 episodes, one on each position. If you haven't watched those, please go back and join the view count because we need to boost those pods up a little bit. Justin, I'm excited to be done with that series. I feel like it's housekeeping kind of stuff that we have to do. Otherwise, we're never going to talk about certain positions or certain... If we're just chasing like the viral headline topics, there's a ton of stuff we'd never get to that is important to the team. So I'm glad we did it, but I'm also glad it's done and we can move on and talk about more fun things like Cam Ward showing up on Quarterback Season 3 on Netflix. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Hope everyone enjoyed their weekend, watched Quarterback Season 3. Hope you binged it for the Cam Ward moments. Like Graver said, go back and watch the positional previews if you haven't yet. It's going to get you ready for training camp, which is quite literally right around the corner. But until then, today we're talking Cam Ward on Quarterback Season 3. You know, immediately I wondered how much Cam Ward we were actually going to get, you know, based on the fact that A, the Titans are a small market team, and B, they're bad, or they were really bad, and C, I think this was the first season with four quarterbacks, I think. Yep. I think the others always had three, so you had Baker Mayfield, you know, former number one pick, Tampa Bay, Jaden Daniels, you know, coming off a rookie of the year and NFC championship game. And then I guess the whole just craziness of Joe Flacco's year and the story of his career and getting traded mid-year. So I wondered how much Cam Ward we were going to get. A lot of Titans fans, I'm getting the vibe, are disappointed. I don't think I'm disappointed, but it's probably because my expectations were low for how much Cam Ward we were going to get. But I mean, he was essentially in every episode. There was one or two that felt there could have been more Cam Ward. But I would say the other, you know, four or five episodes, I felt like a decent amount, at least were in line with my expectations.
Yeah, I do feel like I was expecting, I'll say I was a little disappointed with how much coverage we got of Cam. And like, you know, Baker, I feel like Baker was the anchor hero of the story. His team was the only team that was actually competing for a playoff spot by the end of the year and by the end of this season of the television show. And, you know, Daniels is out like with three or four different injuries throughout the course of the season. Flacco's like on a timetable where eventually he's going to get back to the bench for the starting quarterback. So like we understood those guys' arcs. I feel like they could have like focused a little bit more on Cam for the second half of the season when Daniels is injured and Flacco is getting ready to go back to the bench. Like, I don't know. So I was a little disappointed. I'll tell you specifically where I was disappointed was I feel like we had really in-depth coverage of Cam from weeks like 1 to 7 and then like semi in-depth from like 8 to 10, where I guess the bye was in there. And then they come back and it's like week 11, week 12. And Cam's talking about how, oh, it feels like the season's flying by. And they're like, we don't even get a play from either of those two games. And one of those games was the Seahawks game where he actually had one of his best games of the season. We don't get to see it. And then we do that. And then it's like a full hour passes where we're focusing deep on the other three quarterbacks. And we finally come back to the Titans for the Browns game, which they did a whole big thing on because Cam was like pissed in the media after that game. And they like focused on that. So, but there was a huge, that was to me the biggest gap in the whole coverage of his season was like the actual turning point after the bye. And I feel like they alluded to it at parts, but they didn't really hit it home the way that we as a fan base and as media covering the team and the quarterback hit it home, you know?
Yeah, you had the clip, I think, of a commentator at one point saying, you know, since the bye, Cam Ward has thrown seven, at that point, like seven touchdowns and one interception. So
it was, there was like December. It was only in December he's thrown 8-1 at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Brief moments alluded to it, like you mentioned. Like the Seahawks and Texans games, they lost. I wonder if that's why. But like the throw to Restrepo against the Seahawks. I was going to call this his best throw of the season, but I have such a hard time deciding because there were just so many. But the one to Chig against the Texans down the sideline as he's getting leveled might have been his best throw of the season. It wasn't one of the off-script crazy ones, but the way he just hung in the pocket and delivered it just perfectly in the breadbasket for Chig on the sideline, like that might have been his best throw. So I kind of wish we got those in there. But they won the Browns game and they won the Chiefs game, right? So I'm not shocked. And then, as you said, the Browns game actually got pretty decent coverage because of his response to the celebration. They even cut in the Jeffrey Simmons interview about Ward's leadership that obviously was filmed separately, you know, about that Browns game and moment. So I guess from a production standpoint, I'm not shocked we got, you know, the Chiefs the Chiefs and Browns. And leading up to the Chiefs game, I enjoyed like the practice clips of how confident he was. We're going to win this game. Like he felt so good going into it. And it's probably their most complete performance of the season, right? They just blew out the Chiefs. The game wasn't close at all. They only won three games, right? So it was certainly their most complete showing.
And then they skipped the 49ers and they skipped, I can't even remember who the Titans played in week. Oh, the Saints. They skipped the Saints. They could have done a whole rookie QB thing. They didn't even decide. I know Cam had also a strip sack fumble that was returned for a touchdown in that game. So I think they were trying to play the narrative of like, he's good now. He's exciting now. So they don't want to include any of that bad stuff to throw off the narrative. But I think his best throw of the season, by the way, was the Chiefs one to DK, the off script rolling to his left missile. And I even,
they did a good job including that one.
Yes. I wanted to talk to you about what this was like with your significant other, because going into this watch, like you and I talked about it a little bit. I was like, it was Tuesday last week. I was like, oh, I'm going to wait and start it tonight. I'm not going to like watch it at my desk at work during the day because I'm going to watch it with my wife. And then I sit down at night to watch it and she's like, she has absolutely no interest in it whatsoever. She like sat there for episode one, bless her heart, on her phone the whole time. I would be like, oh, look at this. Oh, I remember this when I was talking about this during the season. And she'd like look up for 30 seconds and then go back to her phone. And so I fell behind because like yesterday, midday, I was halfway through episode four and you and I were texting about it. And Jessica let me sit on the couch for like 4 hours or 3 hours yesterday and watch the whole show, the rest of the show. And she actually sat there with me and she watched parts of it. And so I did get her attention for some of it. I'm curious from the people out there watching this show with a significant other or partner who doesn't care about football, if you watched it with them, if you convinced them to watch it somehow, what that experience was like, let us know in the comments because I want to know what everyone's experience was. And what was yours like, Justin?
I think you and I sounded a lot tougher before we started the show. We're going to watch it. Anna did not watch a second with me. I did not get Anna to watch 1 second. I ended up throwing it on sometimes like during breakfast. Like that's when I did the majority of watching, to be honest. I did throw it on a little bit while working. But no, I did not get Anna to sit there and full on watch it with me.
So I am curious what people's experiences were like with that. But Justin, we got to take our first break here. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about what from this season we think proves that Cam Ward is that guy, the one that we've been talking about, the one that we've been waiting for as a fan base. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everybody. All right, Justin. So let's just kind of pull from our memory of the show. I do think we're doing a good job of covering this without spoiling it. If you haven't seen it yet, like, I mean, it's spoil it. It's a documentary based on the season that you all just watched, hopefully, if you're actually a Titans fan. I think that there are moments in this season that demonstrate, number one, why Mike Borgonzi and company fell in love with Cam as a prospect, and number two, why we have all the faith, hope, confidence in the world that this guy's going to work out. It sort of confirmed what we already thought we knew about him and what we've heard about him, but it's nice to actually see it play out with his teammates, with his coaches, with his personal life and his family. And like that, number one, for me, the biggest, strongest takeaway, Cam Ward is 100% authentically himself with everybody in every situation. It doesn't matter if it's with his parents. He's going to talk a little trash. He's going to give them a little, but he's also going to be a genuine person. It doesn't matter if it's with his teammates. It doesn't matter if it's with elementary school kids he's playing dodgeball with or taking on a shopping spree at Target. He's going to rib people a little bit. He's going to be himself, a magnetic personality that I think people are just drawn to. And we saw, you know, we heard all about that in the pre-draft process and throughout his rookie season. But to actually see it happening on camera, I thought was a really cool insight. And while I'm overall a bit disappointed in how much Cam was shown, I'm in a position where it's like, I way rather this exist and we have it, right, and I'm glad I got to watch it than for it to like be about Tyler Shook or somebody else, you know? So that was my biggest takeaway, is like, this guy is who he is, and he's everything we heard about and we've heard reported about him. It's all true, and I love it. I love his personality.
I think that perspective is important, right? Because can you imagine being a Titans fan complaining about your starting quarterback being one of four featured on a season-long documentary by the biggest streaming company alive, right? Like, wait, Titans don't get primetime games. They've never been selected on Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks has been going for 25 years, whatever the heck it's been. But we got Cam Ward on quarterback. So, no, I can't, you know, I think that perspective is important. Can't imagine complaining about that. I don't want to ruin a little here. It's been out for a while now, and like I said, we've seen it play out. But the stuff with some of the kids was hilarious. Like the way he's authentically himself. Like when he's taking the kids to the shopping spree at Target. I'm sorry, I bust out laughing when one of the kids said, "Can I get a PS5?" And he said, "You ain't getting no PS5 or something like that." Like, yeah.
And then there's a PS5.
You know how expensive a PS5 is?
And then in the shopping cart at the end, like 2 minutes later, there is a PS5 in the shopping cart.
Right. There, yeah. But the point is, you ain't getting no PS. Like, you crazy. Yeah. Then obviously the dodgeball with the kids. Where,
or,
you know,
the kid
I'm
with
sure
the weights.
Gone viral.
Yeah, the dodgeball one where he says, "I wish I could F them kids up" or whatever.
I could peg the F out of these kids. I wanted to peg the F out of these kids.
With the shopping spree, there's the kid who has the weights, and he's like, "What, you actually going to use those? You actually going to work out with those weights?"
he's authentically himself. Even with his parents, you get a little trash talk, you get a little sass. I would say his mom said he's so smart, but he's always joking. He's a clown, right? Like, it's sort of like, but you can tell he's also humble and respectful, and you get all that. And like, listen, I know some people maybe wanted more football, and I do want to talk more football. But I'll be honest, I enjoyed like seeing him at Thanksgiving with the family.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going to sound silly because maybe as a grown man, I shouldn't care about another man's personal life. But I didn't know he had a girlfriend, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I didn't
same.
Know that. Did you? Like, you didn't know that either, right? So that was a pleasant surprise for me when I saw they put her on screen. Oh, wow. I didn't know he was in a relationship. Nice to see. And it seems like they've been together for a little bit, and they seem to have a really good, humble, you know, sort of relationship together. So I enjoyed seeing that. I didn't know he bought his parents a new house that looks like was being custom built near, not in their hometown, I don't think, but near their hometown somewhere.
In Texas,
I imagine you know a bit better Texas geography than I do, but appears to be near their hometown, but not in their hometown.
That is way south of where I am, but yes, it did appear to be near where he grew up.
So I didn't know that. It was nice to see the custom house being built. And I thought, like, again, you go back to that sass. It was funny with him saying, they always tell me, you can never repay what you've done for us. Oh, I think this repays it or something like that.
Exactly.
Like, look like, and Cam Ward's father, Calvin, talking about, this is where my office is going to be. I've never had an office. Like, just.
And this is where the photo
I really enjoyed
Cam and Goodell on draft night's going to go.
Which,
yeah.
By the way, another hilarious moment in the show where he said, I didn't want to go to the draft. My mom, I said, Mom, we could AI a picture of me and Roger Goodell together. So I really liked all that. So the Thanksgiving scene was one of my favorites, in all honesty, with the whole, looks like a family. I believe maybe his sister even had a boyfriend present, like just nice seeing all that, and the off-field, the fishing with his buddy, I know was maybe a bit long, but I found it hilarious when his buddy goes, he's not, something along the lines, he's not going to admit it, he's a big-ass kid, he's not leaving here until he catches a fish. Like, goes back to the competitive level, reminds you of him breaking the ping pong table, right? Like, he's just always on, and he's not even willing to let a fish in a body of water win. He's willing to stay out there as long as it takes.
Yeah, and I think on that note, I mean, the competitive angle, the breaking stuff angle, there's one point, and this is deep in the show, episode 6 or 7, where he is working out with his private QB coach, and he asks the coach, like, over under how many iPads do you think I've broken this year? And he answers, like, 3 to 5, and Cam's like, I think I've broken over 1 per game. So like the fact that he, and then he has a whole moment where he's like, you know, if I'm breaking an iPad, I'm taking it out on an iPad. I'm not taking it out on a teammate or a coach or whatever. Like, I get that frustration out in that moment, and then I'm good to like lock in back in the game. And I'm like, hey, whatever works for you. It's like, I don't know who's paying for this, if it's coming out of your game check or if the team just covers that stuff. But, I love seeing that competitive fire. And that takes us back to after the Browns game, when he's in the locker room and he's like, watch the effing film and get better. Like, it's not about winning or losing. It's about playing well and winning. And I do love that fire in him. And I like that Jeffrey Simmons had his back and was like, I was wondering why he was mad, but I understand where he's coming from because we did play sloppy. Like, we didn't have our best game. And then they go have the Chiefs game. And after the Chiefs game, he's playing pool with one of his buddies in his house. And he's talking about how, like, you know, it was a win and we played well, so I'm not going to take that away from anybody. But again, you hear it again, like, we expect to win. Like, after the Cardinals win, he's like, man, we're celebrating a little too much. And I agree, by the way, the locker room shots they were showing with the coaching staff going nuts with the players because they won the Cardinals game, a game, a reminder that they would have lost if it hadn't been for any of the following 3 miracle plays. Not any of them don't happen. The Titans don't win the game. Amari DiMercato drops the ball an inch before the goal line. Kyler Murray has a snap bounce directly off his face mask deep in Titans territory, recovered by the Titans. And of course, the inner touchdownception where the ball's picked off and fumbled and recovered in the end zone. Like, the fact that the team celebrated as hard as they did for that win, like, yeah, they still had to go put that drive together, the game-winning field goal drive. But it kind of shows you what they were like. That coaching staff was so out of their depth that they were so excited to get a win. And then it clearly carried over into the next week when they lose to the freaking Raiders of all teams, who don't go. I don't even know if the Raiders went on to win another game the whole season. They maybe won at most because they only won 3 games and they won week 1 against New England. So they either didn't win another game or they only won 1 more game after that. And the Titans no-showed in that game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to spend too much time on that. I it's hard to win in the league, and guys get excited when you've lost 4 or 5 in a row. But it does maybe give off a bit of a loser mentality, if you will. After our next break, I want to talk more football because there's a moment going back all the way to episode 1 that I'd like to touch on.
Yes, we'll be right back. Oh, welcome back. All right, Justin, let's finish this up. Conversation. I'll just say, as we dive back in here, it was really cool. Like, I love that the Titans got a guy in this spotlight and we got all the access we got. Do I wish it was more? Always. I'll always wish it was more, but I'm not going to be ungrateful about it, and I'm certainly not going to take it for granted. I loved that we had that, that we had this feature to watch. Justin, you said you wanted to keep talking about football going all the way back to week 1. What's on your mind?
Yeah, one of the biggest moments, I think, of the show, or the earlier Cam Ward moments, was, and I guess that was them showing, you know, rookie quarterback struggle, was the third and long against the Denver Broncos, where they're trailing 13-12, I think it already was, with about 7.5 minutes left. And they were within a 55-yard field goal, right, is what it would have been. And as we know, Joey Sly's got a pretty powerful leg. Little inconsistent when it comes to accuracy, but he made a bunch of field goals from about 55 yards this past year. So you're in that position to potentially, you know, take a lead against the Broncos with, you know, less than half of the fourth quarter remaining. And it's third and long. And as you know, typically third and long, tough time picking up the first down. You're going up against that defense. And Cam Ward goes to the sideline and promises Brian Callahan he's not going to take a sack. Now, that sort of the indication we got is that probably influenced the play call, that Brian Callahan decided to trust Cam Ward in that spot, because you'd have to think Callahan probably wanted to go conservative there, right? Like, 3-yard pass makes it a 52-yard field goal. A 3-yard run makes it a 52-yard field goal. And it's probably what you should have done in that situation, right? It's third and long. It's against that defense who loves to pin their ears. They've led the NFL in sacks 2 years in a row, right? Obviously, this past year hadn't happened yet, but they were coming off a year where they led the league in sacks. Calls a passing play. Long story short, I've already made it long. Cam Ward takes a sack, fall out of field goal range. You've got to punt the ball. You lose the game. I think by the final score, it already was. It was 13-12. I can't believe I'm going to defend Callahan here, because I've seen him catching a lot of BS for that, or a lot of crap for it. And I never pass up an opportunity to dump on Callahan. I guess I'm going to do it here. Why did he listen to his rookie quarterback? It's week one. Why would you let him make that call? You know what? I think if you're Brian Callahan in that situation, you know, it's week one, but you're coming off 3-14 year. You know that you're going to go as far as your relationship with Cam Ward can take you. It's obviously still a new relationship. It's week one. It's fresh. I don't blame him for trying to take that moment to show his rookie quarterback, hey, I trust you. I believe in you. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to try to build rapport with you and place my faith in you. I actually don't blame Callahan for making that decision, probably a decision he didn't want to make. I think that was him saying, let me take this moment to show my quarterback that I trust him and that I believe him and that we're going to build something special together. Because I'm sure, you look at the way he coached most of last year, even though, you know, up until his firing, he was very conservative. I'm sure he wanted to be conservative in that spot.
Me too. So do it. You're the head coach. I understand
you
what you're saying.
On Callahan in hindsight. You love Cam Ward. You don't want him to put faith in Cam Ward.
Tighten down.
I understand what you're saying.
I believe what we have in that room.
I believe in what you guys are capable of.
I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from with that. And I agree that it would be important. But the way that he should do that is to say, Cam, we cannot lose yards here. It's not about, I don't trust you to not take a sack. It's about putting you in a position where taking a sack isn't even on the table. We don't need to go for the kill here. It looked like what happened was Ward wanted a play that was sort of aggressively targeting downfield because it's third and long. And it's like, if we go get a touchdown here, that's better than getting a field goal here. And so instead of like just setting up for, yes, a long but makeable field goal try, they are going for more of a kill shot type play. And the pass protection doesn't hold up. It's his first game ever against what you just said, the defense that has led the league in sacks. They were coming off a season where they led the league in sacks back in week one, and they would go on from there to lead the league in sacks again. Like, you can't let your rookie, like, yes, I understand wanting to build a relationship and trust your rookie quarterback. He's got to earn that trust by playing multiple games in the NFL and understanding what he's seeing. Like, Vic Fangio pulls out some pressure look that Cam has never seen before in that moment that he was saving for that
Joseph.
Big third down moment.
Vance
Joseph is what I meant. Whatever, doesn't matter. I'm not even going to edit that out.
No,
audience,
Vance
this
Joseph,
is for you.
It's fine.
Vance Joseph
listen,
is.
Listen, I get it, but I do think there's a little hindsight. And I think Callahan, we know he wants to go conservative. They're pretty confident in that. I think you've got to pick your spots as a coach where you kind of get uniquely away from what you want to do. And I get why he chose to do it in that moment. Look, we don't like him. It's easy to dump on him. That play backfired. I get where he was coming from. What I will say is, I don't remember the play. And to be honest with you, they didn't really show it. They just kind of showed it from Cam's vantage point where he got sacked, if I recall correctly. Where I could be critical, I'd love to go back and I didn't do this. Go back and look at the play because I'm like, maybe I'm not letting him go for a first down. You know, like maybe I'm letting him hit a 5-yard slant. Like I'm trying to find something that lets him throw the ball, but is super safe, gets the ball out quickly, picks up a couple yards. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he let him call the uber aggressive play, or I don't know if Denver did a great job taking away the first read, taking away the quick hitter, and that's where it fell apart maybe, right? But the point is, I've seen a lot of Titans fans dump on Callahan for it, and I hate passing up an opportunity to dump on Callahan. I was not a fan whatsoever. I thought it was a fine moment for him to, you know, kind of show a unique left. He knows he's only going as far as his quarterback is going to take him. And I think that was him trying to, you know, start to build that relationship there.
Yeah. On the football side of things, I mentioned before, I felt like they really showed us a lot of coverage early in the season, not a lot late. We got a lot of moments where Bo Hardigree's kind of like, kind of trying to pick him up after a bad play, a bad sequence,
on the
bad loss.
A lot of Bo Hardigree.
And nothing after Bo Hardigree becomes the de facto offensive coordinator. Nick Holtz, was Nick Holtz even in the show? Like, if he was, I didn't
recognize
him.
I saw him hugging someone at some point, I think.
Okay, that sounds like a Nick Holtz thing. Mike McCoy, not in the show at all, really. I mean, there's a couple moments actually before Callahan is fired where it's like pregame, they're warming up, and McCoy like says something encouraging to him or something.
There was a McCoy victory speech, but it was really short.
Oh, right.
I guess the Chiefs or Brown, I don't remember which one, but there was a brief Mike McCoy locker room victory speech.
But there wasn't as much of like Cam's process as
about,
I wanted.
Getting fired, but taking over, the how you navigate that as a rookie quarterback. There was none of that.
But we did get a scene where Callahan's breaking down film with him, and it's like it's right before Callahan. I think it was after the Week 4 game because Cam Ward said, "I just want to get a win. Like, we got to play well this week." And Callahan said, "Like, we will. We're going to play well this week." And like, on the one hand, he was right-ish because that was the Cardinals game. On the other hand, they were down like 21-6 or something in that game. So I don't know if it was really right or not. But that was interesting timing for that conversation. And it's cool to see, like, he's like, "You remember in Week 1 when this happened? Like, now you know to see this. Like, you got to get whatever the I can't remember exactly the specific play they're breaking down, but it was cool to see them breaking it down. It's great to see. We've heard about this a lot, but again, and that's sort of the theme of this whole recap. We've heard about it a lot. It's great to see it. Cam watching film, talking about watching film, breaking down film. Pretty much every time he was shown in his house where he wasn't like hanging out with his girlfriend or playing pool with a buddy or whatever, he's in his like film watching room where he's got like a keyboard out and a handwritten journal to take notes on, or he's like watching football on Thanksgiving and he's sitting there with his iPad watching his own game film while the Lions play the whoever on TV behind him. Like, that was cool to see how, I mean, again, we knew it, but it's cool to see it, how dedicated he is to being as good as he can possibly be. Like, the work ethic off the field, that stuff is as present as everyone has built it up to be. And I liked seeing it play out on the screen.
It's all football all the time. Yeah. I thought the show did a decent job as we wrap up here, even though we've talked about some of the stuff that was missing. I think it did a decent job. And I've said this a couple times on the show that I know we credit a lot of it to Callahan being gone, and I really do think he was just a young quarterback who, regardless of who was coaching him, I always say, like, you can break some quarterbacks, and there are some that are unbreakable because they're so good. And the Titans are so dysfunctional, or they were so dysfunctional, but I don't think they could successfully break him because he's that good. And I think a lot of the success down the second half of the year, this is what I'm trying to say, wasn't, you know, "Oh, Callahan's gone." I think a lot of it was just the light bulb coming on for a young quarterback, a really good young quarterback, because guess what? It's a process, right? Like, it's hard playing quarterback in the National Football League, and you tend to get better as it goes on. And I think that tends to be the case for a lot of rookie quarterbacks. The ones who are destined to be good regardless of circumstance. And I think that describes Cam Ward. And I think that's what happens for him down the stretch. We saw how good he was post-bye. I think, again, I don't think that's coincidence. You get that refresher away, right, from it a little bit. You get some downtime. You reflect a lot on what you've done, what you've learned throughout the first half of the season, which was a whirlwind where you had a coach fired, you had a play calling change and all this. I think Cam Ward simply got better as the year went on because he was always destined to get better because he's a good quarterback, and that's what good quarterbacks do. And I think the show actually did a decent job with that because of, you know, the Browns game and the Seahawks, the Chiefs game and some of the numbers that were, and you could just see him with confidence at practice with his quarterback's coach, the personal quarterback's coach. I just, sky's the limit for him going forward. And I'm so excited for what's to come in year two under Brian Daboll.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we didn't get to touch on today, like the seed, the whole thing with seeds, like what's
that was
a seed?
I didn't know that, so that was fun.
Throw it to his effing face, that's a seed. I did enjoy watching him work out with Daryl Colbert, where Colbert's telling him, like, or where I think Cam actually said it, that, like, during the season, his mechanics started to drift, so he had to, like, start working with his quarterback coach again during the season. That's the kind of, like, you know, the fumbles, too, but that's the kind of thing that's, like, accountability for where I'm messing up and doing something about it. Not just like, oh, I need to be better, so I'll try next game to be a little better. It's like, no, what am I doing during the week to make sure that I will be better in our next game? My fundamentals, my mechanics are drifting. I'm not like listening to my feet and marrying my feet with my eyes. Like, and so he goes out and he drills it. Not in practice. We're not talking about,
wait. We're talking about practice.
Not in practice, but on his own with his private trainer, he goes out to work on those things. Like, those are the kinds of, that's the kind of like work ethic stuff we're talking about when we say that, like, he truly puts in the time to be great. Talks about Kobe. Oh, that was a very funny moment too that we didn't mention. Kobe, I don't think there's ever be another athlete like Kobe, except for me probably.
I think that was episode one, or it was really early on. That's Cam being Cam. I think I'll button up this conversation with everything a lot of what we knew, like you said, confirmed the compete level, the accountability, the leadership, the maturity. There's a clip floating around social media right now of him on some podcast that I'm not familiar with, to be honest with you.
But he talks about
Brian Daboll, and I wish I had the knowledge that I have now. I wish I had it last year. Just to me, kind of adds to the excitement, you know, heading into training camp here in about a week's time. And for the 2026 season, Cam Ward being coached by Brian Daboll, Robert Saleh, obviously, but Daboll overseeing the offense.
That was the other thing. It's like we got that random flashback to the Niners game. Maybe a little like foreshadow. Like, did you not cover the game?
And they must have Robert had Saleh's some there. Stuff, by the way. Like, they filmed up until March, it looked like.
Yeah.
We got the new logo, the reveal. We got Joe Flacco in free agency. Like, they filmed one last thing.
Because that was one of the things that stood out to me watching this after the new logo is revealed, is just how much old Titans branding had to be replaced just around the facility, exteriors, interiors,
of course.
Not just that, but like Cam's entire wardrobe, his family's entire wardrobe. It's like every time they're on camera, they're wearing Titans gear, and it's funny to me, Justin. We haven't even, obviously, they just released this stuff, 2-3 months ago? We haven't even, like, lived through a season with this new branding or anything yet. It's already so baked into how I view the team now that it was, like, it was weird watching this season with all the old branding everywhere. Like, it just stood out as looking old and dated and not modern anymore, which it's just funny to me how quickly that switch kind of flips in your head.
It also reminded me how beautiful the new stuff is, right? Like, when they finally when they did the reveal, and I think they showed Shimmer DK wearing it afterwards. Cam Ward obviously was wearing it afterwards, talking about it. It's gorgeous. I can't wait for the upcoming year. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast, reviewing Cam Ward, Tennessee Titans quarterback, on season 3 of Netflix's Quarterback Show. Hope you enjoyed it. Leave your comments below. What were your favorite moments of Cam Ward on quarterback? What did you hope to see more of? Did it meet your expectations? Were you disappointed? Let us know below. Yes, Graver?
Speaking of the uniforms, Justin, tell the people what we got coming up this week.
Later this week, we will have uniform expert Zach Cohen back on the show to talk about what we know, what we think we know, hints, rumors, leaks, all that, about the Titans rivalry uniforms, the Nike jersey that will be revealed later this summer, probably sometime in August, we're anticipating. If you're a card-carrying member of the Audible Army, you'll remember we had Zach on the show before they revealed the new uniforms and logos. That episode went crazy. We did a whole similar episode where we were piecing together what we know, and in all honesty, we came pretty close to nailing, you know, everything about the eventual reveal. We're going to do it again with the Nike rivalry uniform, so make sure you come back later this week for the episode with Zach Cohen. You're not going to want to miss that one. Pretty unique episode as we get ready for training camp.
And that'll do it for this one. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Again, as Justin said, hit that subscribe button, like the video, comment below. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.